Thank you. I need a step up. So where I pastored, I had a podium that was just my height. And I come here and all you can see is my head. So I'm hoping this will help out. Jeff, I want to thank you for the songs that you chose this morning. You have no idea that Great is Our God is a very special song for me. Back in 2008, I was facing cancer surgery about this time of the year. And a couple of months later, we started chemo treatments. And Pam and I went to the wig shop. And I was one of those people who had gray hair at the time, like I do now, but mine's much more gray now. And so I was going around trying to match my hair, and I was picking out wigs that were gray-haired lady wigs. And the lady at the store was calmly taking them, and then she'd take them to the back, and she'd plop them down. But when she said, "Let's go try one that I have picked out for you," she put on the gray-haired lady wig for me, and I didn't like it at all. But then she put on the one that she picked. And just as she did that, over the intercom came, "Great is Our Lord." And so that particular wig was the one I chose. And I wore it for the time that I did not have any hair for a few months. And now I can say that I'm cancer-free and have been ever since. So praise God. This morning, our scripture lesson comes from 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 10. And if you'd like to stand, we've been sitting quite a while, so why don't we stand for the reading of this word? And you can follow along on the screen. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a stone that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of God from very long ago to you, the people of God today. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, a word that is living and goes forth into this world, a word that proclaims your goodness, your mercy and grace, a word that we can hang on to. And we ask that as we proclaim your word today, that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you will give the right words to me that you want me to say. And if there is anything that I am not to say, then put the words in my mouth that you want. Lord, we ask that you will open the ears of those who are listening so that they might hear your word and that they might experience your holy presence. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. In April of 1607, after sailing 4.5 months, the first English settlers of Jamestown sailed up the Chesapeake Bay and landed their ship on what they named Cape Henry. Reverend Robert Hunt was the chaplain on that ship, and he asked that everyone stay on board and fast and pray for 3 days as they examined their hearts and repented of their sins. Reverend Hunt wanted the people to be pure in heart and in motive as they stepped onto this new land. On April 29th, 1607, Robert Hunt stepped off of the ship, and as that whole group placed their feet on the sandy shoreline for the first time. He then planted a big wooden cross on the land, and he read a covenant prayer dedicating this land to God and pledging that the gospel would go to all the people in this land, and from this land, it would go to all the nations of the world. Folks, this nation, from the very beginning, has been dedicated to God as a holy nation. But today, we are in a crisis moment, a moment where the covenant that was made so long ago has largely been forgotten, and God is calling every one of us back to his plan for this nation to become a holy nation once again. In our scripture reading this morning, Peter tells us to rid ourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, and to crave pure spiritual milk so that we may grow up in our salvation. When we look at the news, the reports are often full of deceit and hypocrisy and slander, and there are relatively few stories about this nation being a holy nation. So what clues can we glean from our scripture this morning that will shed light on our privilege and our responsibility as God's covenant people who are to help this nation turn back to God? First, we must grow up in our salvation, which for Peter means that the Christian believers have the privilege of being built into a spiritual house and the responsibility of being in the holy priesthood of all believers. That responsibility means that we are to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Christ. It can be a spiritual sacrifice of praise or some kind of deed that you do that brings glory to God. There are many other ways that is acceptable as a sacrifice for God. I remember years ago, we had a camping trailer along with a Suburban to pull it. Both of them were about 15 to 20 years old. And we went on our vacation and we were headed to Texas and Oklahoma and Nebraska. And we ended up having a flat tire on the trailer at one point. And after changing the tire, we headed to Tulsa to see my sister. We were on a very busy street in Tulsa. We were just a few blocks from my sister's house when the engine caught fire. We were stopped right in the middle of this busy street, blocking all the traffic. Even the fire trucks came. And after getting the fire extinguished, we got help to move everything back to my sister's place. And then the Suburban went into the shop to get fixed. And instead of getting mad and frustrated and out of control like we sometimes did, all I could say was, we need to give a sacrifice of praise to God. In the midst of all that had gone wrong on this trip, God had protected us, and our response had to be praise. No matter what kind of shaking comes, no matter what kind of shaking our nation faces, if we are Christian believers, our spiritual house is firmly built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will not be destroyed. The second privilege and responsibility that Peter reveals is that Christian believers are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And what in the world does that phrase mean? David Bartlett says the issue for the people of 1 Peter is that their status in the eyes of God versus their status in the eyes of the larger world in which they were the despised exiles. The privilege of being a chosen people often creates family troubles, as many early Christians found out because they were from the Jewish families who were still waiting for the Messiah to come, and the new believers had already found the Messiah in Jesus Christ. Even today, many Messianic Jews face estrangement from their families when they become believers in Jesus as the Messiah. So being a chosen people by God is not an easy life. In fact, the responsibility that comes with being a chosen people is being part of that royal priesthood. The word royal means kingly in nature and denotes that there must be a king and a kingdom. For us believers, we have a king in Jesus Christ, and he rules over the kingdom of God, and he has given the keys of the kingdom to the church, the body of Christ on the earth. So we have a responsibility, first of all, to learn what the keys of the kingdom are, and then to know how to use them. And when you use them, it begins to unlock the kingdom of God right here on this earth. One way to do that is through prayer. Reverend Dutch Sheets has a podcast on the difference between a priestly prayer and the kingly prayer. The priestly prayer is a prayer that is prayed from earth to heaven. It is like what we do on our pastoral prayers on Sunday morning. It's like what all of us do when we sit down to pray and ask God to heal people or help us in some way. And when we petition God for what we need and want. But the kingly prayer is one that very few people have entered into and understand. The kingly prayer is one that as you grow up in salvation, you begin to enter into. It comes from heaven down to earth. It is a prayer that comes when you spend time in spiritual oneness with the Lord. There is a point when you are in prayer and meditation that you enter into that holy place through that torn veil and experience the holy presence of the Lord. It is there in the silence that your inner being connects with the will of God, and you are able to declare God's word and decree God's will upon this earth. This is a place where heaven invades the earth. This is what the royal priesthood is to do. It is exactly what the Lord's Prayer says. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. What an awesome opportunity we Christian believers have to partner with heaven, to bring God's will into our nation, and even into all the world. The third privilege and responsibility is that of being a holy nation, God's special possession, so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. In today's world, it is sometimes very difficult to live in the light when there is so much darkness around us and darkness that surrounds our nation. In the last 60 years, God's Holy Spirit has been advancing the kingdom of God on earth. But it seems as if the spiritual forces of wickedness have also been advancing to the point there is a major spiritual battle occurring right now in the heavenlies. The dark and evil forces have tried desperately to blot out the light of God. But God's Shekinah glory shines within each of His chosen people, bringing light to this nation and to the whole world. It has been said by many that God chose Israel, but America chose God. In the past, we were referred to as a Christian nation. But today, there is a concentrated effort to stamp out the Christian belief and muzzle our speech, trying to snuff out God's light. We must take seriously our Christian responsibilities that Peter revealed to us so that we can partner with God in being a holy nation once again. In Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for holy means sacred, being ceremonially consecrated, physically pure, and morally blameless or religious. Our nation is far from this ideal, but there is one thing that gives us hope, and that is the covenant with God that Robert Hunt entered this land with. It still stands. God has not broken His covenant. God has not left this nation. So on this Sunday, the Sunday before we celebrate the 4th of July, our nation's Independence Day, let us rededicate this nation to God using Robert Hunt's covenant prayer. If you'll stand, and we're going to repeat this together, it's up on the screen. We do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to raise up godly generations after us, and with these generations take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations as long as this earth remains, and may this land, along with England, be evangelist to the world. May all who see this cross remember what we have done here, and may those who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant and in this most noble work, that the Holy Scriptures may be fulfilled. Amen. You may be seated. As we end our time together this morning, may you rededicate yourself to being a chosen person of God. Rededicate your heart so that you might enter in to the responsibilities of being one of those royal priests that God uses to bring heaven to earth. Amen.